WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, why don't you just say your name and your title with the show?
Lee McKeska Gardner, and I am the director of Inherit the Windbag.
And it is, as you said, Inherit the Windbag. It's an 8-part web series being put on by Mosaic Theater Company. It is running now, right? Well, tell us where are we? Are all the episodes posted, or are they getting rolled out in installments?
They're being rolled out. So we just dropped the second episode, I want to say Tuesday, and we're dropping them every 2 weeks. So so that next one is due in a couple weeks.
And when and where were they actually filmed? Well, I want to get into the premise in a second, but just some more, you know, housekeeping. When were they actually shot?
So they were actually shot in August. We shut down because of the pandemic before we even opened. Like, we were literally at doing preview weekend when everything shut down of the stage version. So after, you know, the world, at least the theater world, sort of figured out how they were going to negotiate no live theater for a while, Mosaic decided to put these on to what we call a Zoom movie, whether that's totally accurate or not. So they sent all the actors green screens and cameras and microphones, and during August we recorded everything from our homes. I was in Massachusetts and they were all in their homes, and we spent a good chunk of time rehearsing and capturing everything.
Awesome. And cool. Well, without further ado, let's go sort of into the premise. It's called Inherit the Windbag, which is a really clever little play on the words, the title of the play about the Scopes Monkey Trial. And then there was that great, you know, Spencer Tracy movie made out of it, too. But here it's an 8-part web series. And it looks to me like each one tackles a famous debate, starting with the, you know, Gore Vidal, William F. Buckley thing that was in that documentary by Morgan Neville, The Best of Enemies, which was great if anyone ever seen it.
Yeah.
But explain, if you have time, go into the premise for each one of these 8.
So the 8 episodes are really just the entire stage play chunked out. So it is the stage play just on the sort of virtual platform. And the play takes place around the 1968 debates between Buckley and Gore Vidal, which took place in Chicago and Miami, and ended famously or infamously with Buckley, you know, casting epithets on Vidal. And those debates, as in that documentary that you cited, you know, sort of the beginning of politics as entertainment, that we all know so well today. So riffing off of the debates, we learn a lot about Buckley and Vidal's personal situation. So they find themselves, the premise is they find themselves in a hell hosted by Richard Nixon in the Richard Nixon Library. And they're forced to, they don't want to, they're forced to recreate the debates with the hope that one of them will win and then therefore get to leave hell. And out of those debates, we learn a lot about them. Alexandra Petri, who wrote it, also brings in a lot of their other writing. So it's not just the debate, which she excerpts verbatim, but she throws in a lot of their writings. She throws in references to all biographically accurate to their lives. And as I started to say, each episode is just sort of another section of the stage play.
Gotcha. So it's not – okay, I wasn't sure if each – because I see some other famous names popping up in the other episodes. But
yep.
It all is still about the Vidal Buckley. It's just maybe some other famous folks are dropping by. Hell to pay.
Yeah, exactly. As each of them – try to win, and there's literally a scoreboard. So as each of them try to gain points on the scoreboard so that one of them can ascend from hell, they call in people they know to help their case or to hurt the other person's case. So far, we've had Ayn Rand show up. We've had a Norman Mailer show up. We will, in the future, have James Baldwin show up. We've had Gore's mother, Nina Gore, pop in. We've had Pat Buckley pop in. So guest stars arrive in order to help one or the other of the gentlemen out of their situation.
I love the concept. And so, and also, I believe we get Truman Capote stops by.
He does.
Does Bobby Kennedy stop by?
He does, indeed. Oh, yes, he does.
See, so that's going to be really cool. It's a really genius premise. And talk about, you mentioned that it's written by Alexander Petri. Did I say that right?
Petri.
Why is it? Talk about the actual writing itself, how genius that is.
Well, I consider Alex, you know, one of our foremost political satirists, period, bar none, right? She has a Washington Post column, which I read routinely. And she's been a playwright for a while. So this is probably her most ambitious play, I would say. And it was commissioned by Mosaic as part of their locally grown playwriting series. And when we started this, which was 2 summers ago, is that true? It was just an idea, and we sort of had auditions with just a few scenes written and sort of this good idea of hers. So we took the time, you know, to sort of work on the script and help her shape it into the production that was going to happen last March. And we haven't really changed it. We've taken that script, and that's a script that we've turned into this episodic extravaganza.
Nice. Now take me into the casting process. Who plays the two central figures there?
Yeah, we have some great actors in this. So John Lesko plays Buckley, and Paul Morella plays Gore Vidal. We cast them pretty early on. And I have worked with both of them, so I know these guys from way back. They were both in Angels in America, which I directed ages and ages and ages ago. And then 2 people I didn't know, Stephen Keim and Tamika. Uh-oh, you're going to have to give me a second. Tamika Chavez, that's her last name, Tamika Chavez, who were unknown to me, who play the demons, and they play all the guest stars. So they're the ones who are like playing Capote and Baldwin and Nina Gore and Pat Buckley. They play everybody else. And they also, through a pretty rigorous audition process, as I said, two summers ago. Oh my God, really? Yes, 2 summers ago. So there's 4 people in the cast, and they're all brilliant.
Great. I just love the whole premise and the fact that you have Nixon there as the devil. it's very clever and inspired. Talk more about thematically. What you alluded to earlier, that this was sort of the beginning of politics as entertainment and the dangers that come with that. I mean, the Vidal Buckley debate, the televised thing, it was during the 68 presidential campaign.
Right.
You know, so if that's 68, I guess 8 years later, you know, the movie Network comes out, kind of the same kind of a deal with how a real character politics is entertainment. And then the launch and riot, the fairness doctrine, we lose it in the 80s, and then boom, we're off into Fox News versus MSNBC and Donald Trump saying lying Ted and crooked whatever, you know, name calling on stage. So talk about how that has become a dangerous force in society.
You just have to look at what was and what's happening even now with the Trumpites versus anybody else, frankly, and how the media is being used, and you know, between fake news and biased reporting, and you know, it's a lot, and how Facebook is being used and social media is being used, right? It's not necessarily about disseminating accurate information. It's not necessarily about disseminating news. It's about disseminating a point of view in order to gain power, essentially. You had just described an evolution of that, and I think we're in the crisis of it, right? The heat of it, and the decisions we make, we as a population and we in our legislation right now, the decisions we make on how we disseminate real news and consume real news and demand, we as the population, right? We the people demand accurate and real news is going to be really telling on this is my personal opinion. I do not speak for anyone at Mosaic, but you know, is really looking at where our democracy is going to go next.
Yeah,
and believe it or not, it seems so weird, but it does. It trickles all back to, in some ways, these 1968 debates.
Yeah, that was the inflection point, and I think you're so right by saying that it's not just fodder for entertainment or even, you know, consuming news. It is actually seeped down into the core of democracy and whether we're even going to be a democracy going forward. I mean, I think the Capitol siege January 6th sort of crystallized that for everybody. That is literally what the debate is at now.
Yeah.
It's not even the usual Republican versus Democrats. Maybe they have principled stances on policies that should be debated, and then, you know, Tip O'Neill and Reagan go have a beer afterwards. I mean, we are so far gone with that. And you know, the death of a Rush Limbaugh or a, you know, presidential election loss of a Donald Trump is not going to end it. I think this is going to be a raging fire that's going to be fascinating to follow.
I will say,
also scary.
Yeah, and sadly, and you know, so when everything shut, so we had this sort of, you know, lofty premise when we were about to open the show last March, and then we sort of like, well, is the place still going to be relevant? Are people still going to, because it was being presented before the election, right? So you know, it was our hope that we would call into, you know, we would sort of crystallize the run-up to the election, and then things have just gotten so crazy town in you know, in the world of what a democracy or a republic is, that it is more frighteningly relevant than ever before. But having said that, because that sounds very serious and dire, which in fact it is, it's also very funny. So you know, Alex writes satire and she writes comedy, and I've got great actors. So there is humor in the, even as you're sort of going, oh shoot, they said that in 68. He could have said that yesterday and it would still be really relevant.
Right. Well, I appreciate it. I mean, I feel like that's something that we all need, you could use a lot of now, is a hilarious, funny take on very, very serious topic. So we're going to try to make some sense and have some catharsis of all the dire straits that are going on around us, but do it in an entertaining way over 8 episodes. And yeah, not unlike what a Jon Stewart would do. You know, it's taking these really heavy topics, but making it hilarious to watch.
So, yeah.
Cool. Any other final words? Like, I'd like to end. I usually like to end with sort of like a call to action for our listeners. You know, like, act like you're speaking directly to TOP listeners. Why should they, of all the things they could be watching, why should they head over to Mosaic's website and check these installments out?
That's a great call. That's a great thing. All right. So all the WTOP listeners should check this out. I would say, honestly, for the entertainment factor. One, you're going to learn something, so there's that. That's always true of good theater. But to take the pressure off a hard day, a Zoom day, where you've been in meetings all day, or depending on what you do for a living, you know, you're at your job. It's and each episode is only, it's between about 8 and 13 minutes. So with a quick 15 minutes, you can, it's a great decompression. You'll laugh, you'll likely wince a little bit, and you'll definitely be going, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Exactly. Well, it'll be we could call it hellaciously hilarious.
that would be great. Hellaciously hilarious.
awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Again, everyone, it's called Inherit the Windbag, an 8-part web series up on the Mosaic Theater website. A couple episodes up, and stay tuned as they go through all 8. Hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been great.